Hallelujah. Today, scripture reading is Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. I like to read. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being carefully to do all his commandment which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God. This is the word of God. Today's title is If We Hear God's Word and Do It. It's part one. If We Hear God's Word and Do It, part one. Today's text is Moses' farewell sermons to the second generation of Israelites born in the wilderness. As he approaches his death in the plains of Moab after 40 years in the wilderness and the promised land of Canaan, Moses, who knows all too well how the Israelites lived during the 40 years in the wilderness, gave a cautionary sermon to the second generation of the wilderness to avoid a repeat of the unbelief and the destruction of the first generations. Despite God leading them with 10 signs in Egypt, a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, the personally making a covenant with them at the Mount Sinai, giving them a sacramental way to come before God through the tabernacle, giving them the law and seeing the glory of God dwelling with them. The bottom line is that only two men, Joshua and Caleb, were allowed to enter the land of Canaan. The second generation in the wilderness also clearly knew that the reason the first generation had all perished at the brook of the Cherith was because they did not believe, obey, or living according to God's word. Nevertheless, the second generation in the wilderness engaged in immoral worship or Baal of Peor, whom the Moabite woman and the Moabite people believed in, on the plains of Moab, resulting in 24,000 people dying in a single day from a plague. Then Moses once again emphasized the importance of faith, obedience, and action toward God, summarizing it with the words, "Be careful to listen and follow all the command," thereby showing them the way to live. In fact, these words apply to us as well. We may have all of the New and Old Testament, we may believe in and know Jesus Christ, we may have a long history of Bible study and faith, but we still have to ask ourselves if we can be confident that our faith is not repeating the unbelief of the first or second generation in the wilderness. In today's passage, it may seem as though praise like if you obey or if you carefully follow suggests the condition message. However, what God truly wants to convey to the people of Israel through Moses is this: as my covenant peoples, it is only natural for you to accept my covenant, listen attentively to my words, and put them into practice with all your heart, mind, and strength, so that you may fully enjoy all the blessings I have promised you. Amen. The message is that those who are chosen by God as his holy people must understand clearly and deeply in their heart that faith and obedience are not optional, but absolute. In conclusion, God does not desire death and the curse that come from disobedience for the people of Israel, but rather He wants them to obey and receive life and blessings. We can find out the Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 and 19 to 20. I like to read, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity." I like to read verse 19 to 20. "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendant, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the ranks of your days." Amen. If we take a closer look at today's message, it reveals the path toward the completion of salvation, which leads us to our eternal blessing, eternal life. It speaks clearly of faith, obedience, and actions. If we are to attain to the consummation of our blessings and salvation, we must begin by hearing the word of God, which means not merely hearing it with our ears, but receiving it in our heart so that it may abide in us and become the standard by which we do all things. True faith is not simply hearing God's word and agreeing with it. It is making God Jesus my Lord. I'd like to give you some of the scriptures. Let's look at the John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," this is important, "that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Amen? The belief. I'd like to give you another one. The Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." Hallelujah. If we are to be good and loyal, if we are to be masters, we must live according to all the words of our Master Jesus, God the Father. We must live a life that clings to the word and does not fall away from it. But God and our enemy, the devil, believes in God. Let's look at the James chapter 2, verse 19. "You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder." Not only that, but the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's look at the Mark chapter 5, verse 7. "What do I have to do with you, the Jesus, Son of Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." But then, why did they not only fail to receive salvation, but even become enemies of God? It is because, though they may have started with faith, they did not follow through with the obedience and the action that bring true transformation, so their allegiance never truly changes. Knowing they were headed for destruction, they still refuse to repent and continue to resist. That is the very nature of Satan. Let's look at the Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. I like to read, "Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because knowing that he has only a short time." He knows that. He has not much, he has only short time, but he does not repent. It is the nature of Satan in the last days to be held in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and then when he is loose for the short time, he seeks to deceive people to the end so that they will go down with him to destruction. In the Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 to 9, they talk about that. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Even they do not repent. Just they come out to release from the prison, they do not repent. Just they try to the same thing, deceive the nation, deceive the world, human being. These followers of Satan are also blindly opposed to what they don't know and don't understand, and they try to do things instinctively rather than by the word. They end up on the same path of destruction as the Satan. You can find out the Judas chapter 1, verse 10. But these men revile the things which they do not understand and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Dear saints, do we truly have the kind of faith that God speaks over it? Is the word Jesus himself truly the Lord of our lives? In every part of our lives, in God's word, the standard we live by. The Bible says that hearing the word of God, Jesus Christ, is the beginning of faith. You can find at the Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Then, why does our faith waver? There are maybe many reasons, but the most decisive one is this: we do not truly love the Lord. That because genuine, sincere faith naturally stirs up love. Let's look at the 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and good conscience and a sincere faith. Sincere faith. Even to his disciples who called him Lord, he said that they had no faith. You can find at the Mark chapter 4, verse 40, he said to them, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" And in Mark, the account of the upper room, the Lord prayed over Peter's lack of faith. We can find that the Luke chapter 22, verse 32, is Jesus said, "But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brother." Even when the two disciples on the road to Emmaus met the Lord's resurrection and told the disciples about it, but they did not believe. The Lord appeared to them and rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. You can find at the Mark chapter 16, verse 14, he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. We must be alert to the fact that the Bible says that faith is not all of man. And we must not forget that the beginning of the final judgment in the church is the sifting out of the wicked from among those who profess to be believers. we must remember the words the Lord asked Peter, who had denied three times, and even after witnessing the resurrection, returned to being a fisherman by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is come to find him and ask him questions, not once, but three times. Do you love me? You can find that in John chapter 21, verse 15, 16, and 17. That's three times. The reason Jesus asked this repeatedly was because even if Peter has confessed, Lord, or declared, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, without love, all of it would be meaningless. The Lord himself is saying that if you don't love him, you don't believe his word and don't keep them. According to the John chapter 14, verse 23 to 24, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. When our love for God, our love for the words grows cold, our faith grows cold, and so does his body, the church, which grows cold in its preaching and redemptive work. The end of our faith in Jesus is the salvation of our souls. I like the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of grace, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. You can see, even some people does not see the Jesus Christ, but they loved Jesus. Even they cannot see it right now, but believes him. Why? Because love him is a maker, believes him. Our faith must prove to be genuine in the eyes of God. The way to determine if I truly have faith or not is very simple. Let's look at the Titus chapter 1, verse 16. The scripture said, they profess to know God, but by their deed they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. We know God, we believe God, but they deny him. That will be what revealed our real true faith. The real question is whether my entire life truly shows through my actions that I believe in God, because faith must be revealed through how we live. Why are we not loving God fully? First of all, it is because we are not sure that God, Jesus, loves me. If we are not sure that God loves me, how can we love God? When we are not sure of this, everything in our faith is shaky. Let's look at the 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 and 19. Please write down 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse 16 and 19. I like to read. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the ones who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in him. We love because he first loved us. Amen. But believe that God is working his love in us even though we say we don't feel it. That's because when we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit of Jesus pours out God's love in us. Amen. Let's look at the Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our heart through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. If we do not have faith because we do not love God, there is nothing we can do about it. We must cling to Jesus, the author and the perfect for our faith, to God who gives faith as a gift of grace. We should consider the confession of the father of the demon-possessed child. Let's look at the Mark chapter 9, verse 22. And it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. The father who has the son, who has the demon-possessed son, right? The father has heard and seen Jesus' power. And so he came to the Lord, but in his heart, though he rationally believed in Jesus, he has not sure whether it would happen to me. But when Jesus pointed this out to him, he immediately admitted. Let's look at the Mark chapter 9, verse 24. Immediately the boy's father cried out and began saying, I do believe, have my unbelief. I do believe, have my unbelief. Although it may seem paradoxical, this sincere confession is in fact the beginning of true faith. God wants this kind of heart. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 51, verse 17. The sacrifice of God, a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. For it is pleasing to God to see a man who professes to believe in the Lord and yet ask for help for his unbelief. And the scripture said that there is no love of love for God in me, because I still love the world and that the things of the world. You can see that the 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. Dear saints, faith, obedience, and actions, the works, are inseparable from each other, and each has a vital place in the process of salvation. If faith is the root of salvation, then obedience is the stamp, and works are the fruit. The root of our faith must be firm, for it is shaken, rotten, everything else is bound to fall. Let's look at the James chapter 2, verse 26. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. May this be a precious time of deep reflection on the foundation of your own faith. We will testify about obedience next time. Let us close with a reading from the Bible. Please open your Bible, Judas chapter 1, verse 20. Judas chapter 1, verse 20. Find out? Okay, we'll read together. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray together.